William Joyce has achieved worldwide recognition as an author, illustrator, and pioneer in the digital and animation industry. In 2012, he won an Academy Award for the fantastic flying books of Mr. Morris Lessmore, an animated short film about the curative powers of story. Since beginning his career as a children's book author and illustrator, he has written or illustrated nearly 50 books, including the favorites George Shrinks, Dinosaur Bob and His Adventures with the Family Lizardo, and A Day with Wilbur Robinson. Also, Roly Poly Oly, and the brand new book, Billy's Booger, a memoir, sorta. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and we welcome William Joyce
to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate
it. I love being here. I love hearing you say, the way you say booger, with such sort of cautious emphasis.
Does it seem, though, from my knowledge of children and children's literature and working in bookstores and in libraries, that, you know, if you want to guarantee sales...
Yeah.
The inclusion of the term booger can help that.
The publisher was worried about it. They're like, it could turn people off. And I'm like, well, okay, what do you want me to do? I mean, Billy's snot, Billy's mucus. I mean,
real improvement on that, is there?
Yeah, not much. And, you know, we'd lose our alliteration if we changed to something else. And so I'm glad you think it will help sales. And but it is. It is by nature the title of the book I wrote in the fourth grade, so there wasn't really any getting around that. And
the point of this, though, is that what we learn from this story is that at a very early age you were a very creative being.
Evidently, yes.
Yeah. you enjoyed not only the creative, but you enjoyed creating.
More than like math, and which, you know, can be very creative, but somehow for me was limiting. And being creative seemed to be, it was something that, especially in the 60s, was like for teachers was, you know, it just didn't fit the mold, and it was something they were like wanted to encourage, but I tended to take it to places further than they had wanted me to. So this book was the sort of high point of that period in my early life. And it was for a contest to see what kid could write the best kid's book. And I was kind of like confident I would win because I drew really well. And I thought it was a stirring narrative about a kid, much like myself, who was bad at math, but then gets hit in the head by a meteorite, and he and his boogers get superpowers. And I did it all in green crayon and pen, which I thought was sort of a nice, you know, thematic touch, artful. And but I didn't win, and I didn't win anything. And in fact, you know, I got in a little bit of trouble. And they were like, you've just gone too far. And I had to promise not to draw boogers in school anymore. And eventually I found in my school records that I retrieved that for the fourth grade, you know, the page that where they documented my fourth grade, the teacher had taken the book and stapled it on there as Exhibit A for her two-word description of me as a student, which was odd child.
You even have a note on here from to your parents saying that he has been very odd as of late. But I have to tell you, the subtitle of your book, Billy's Booger, The Memoir of a Little Green Nose Buddy.
Yes.
To me.
The insert book, yes.
To me, it doesn't get better than that.
Bless your heart, or something.
And so this is when you learn that teachers obviously don't have a sense of humor, because how could you not find that amusing when everything else is what I did on my summer vacation?
My fourth grade teacher was not like she was really pretty, and young, and we all had a crush on her, but she was kind of mean, and she had no sense of humor. And this just totally, like, it was like she'd had enough of William Joyce at that point, or Billy. And things just never got better for her or for me. And fifth grade was much better, but I had to promise not to do that anymore. So it may have had something to do with the fact that she caught me doing a number of caricatures of her, that were kind of unflattering, and I had her being eaten by a dinosaur. In today's climate, I don't know what they probably give me Ritalin or something. I don't know.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you have a thing in here where you go visit the principal, and the principal said that you are one of his most challenging students ever.
Yes.
Now, do you think you would be, because it seems to be the only problem is that you were an imaginative kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a problem, is it?
Well, back in the day, it kind of was. And I think it still is somewhat. I mean, creative. Like, they want things to go smoothly. I mean, a school is about, teaching you these basic things as quickly and thoroughly as possible. And so for a kid like me that was daydreaming a lot, and like when I, for science fair, I mean, the things I turned in for science fair caused so much pandemonium and occasional destruction that, my volcano, I packed it too good with whatever was, going to make it erupt. And so it shot makeshift, pretend lava to the ceiling and covered every kid within, an entire room with speckles of homemade lava. So, I always took it as a compliment that I didn't quite understand, I was his most challenging student was not a good thing. I thought that was like, oh, okay, awesome.
Somebody has to be sure.
Yeah. And it seemed he was, I think, wryly amused by some of my antics, when I raised tadpoles into frogs and they all got out, that was a problem because there were a lot of them. I remember the teacher, she had one in her hair. I mean, it was just, and when they first get to be frogs, man, they're really teeny. And they can jump like you wouldn't believe. And anyway, there's a couple hundred of them running around. That was problematic.
Didn't go over well. The book has ultimately a happy ending because while not accepted, your work not accepted by those judging the contest, it is accepted by your peers.
Which is, what happened and was kind of the nice icing on the cake. In truth, the book, this book, talks about me making the book, and I was so excited to channel my, talents and enthusiasms. And then it includes the actual book or a facsimile of it in the center so you can see exactly what was going on. And then, the rest of the book is about the fallout. And I was really bummed out in real life in the fourth grade that I didn't win, and I couldn't quite understand. But the librarian, this was an awesome thing, a lovely touch. She put all the entries, all the book entries, into the library, and they actually had their own, Dewey Decimal, card and the whole bit. And she told me a couple of weeks later that, I was moping around. I was just kind of deflated. And she goes, well, hey, man, you need to cheer up a little bit. Your book's checked out the most. I'm like, really? And she goes, oh, my God. We can't keep it in. And, and it's getting worn out already. And I was like, oh, that's, And then I actually kind of like, it was going around to like older kids, kids in fifth and sixth grade that were digging it. And so it was an interesting thing. All of a sudden I was like, well, I got in trouble with the grown-ups. And my parents were okay, really okay with it. They're like, you should see the stuff he draws at home. And then my peers embrace it. So I'd upset the power structure, but I'd also, you know, gotten a level of fame and infame. And I realized this was a powerful thing. You know, I'd drawn some pictures and I'd made up a story, and I'd stirred things up. And it's kind of like when you're in the fourth grade, you don't usually exert that much influence on your world. And so it was kind of heady. And that feeling never left me. That's why I've never stopped making up stories and writing books and making movies and things, because I like stirring it up.
So at the beginning of your career as a children's book author and an illustrator, and some 50 books, but then also you are making films and as an animator as well, working on projects from everybody from Disney to DreamWorks to Pixar and Fox. Mm-hmm. So what was there a goal, or was it all connected to you? I mean, were they separate pursuits, or was there always a thought that this could be sort of, this is the thing I do?
It was a thing I wanted to do. I became besotted with movies, you know, probably when I was like 12 or something. And it appealed to, like, I'd always loved animation and stuff, and I started sort of really getting into classic films. And so when I went to college, I went to art school, but I hated it because they wanted me to abstract. I was already painting kind of, you know, realistically by then, and had a lot of narrative to my paintings. I mean, a lot of times it's just, you know, sort of Andrew Wyeth looking landscape with a UFO hovering, you know, over the flaxen fields, and they were like, you know, you need to abstract. And I was like, well, I did that when I was four. I'm kind of like, this is what I want to do. But they were, at that point, art schools, you know, were very, very, and they still kind of are anti-representational. And so after one semester, I changed to film school. And because I was like, I want to be able to tell stories with pictures. And that's what movies are. And so I graduated with a film degree. But I went directly into children's books, and studying film really helped me learn, you know, the sort of narrative way to tell a picture book story. And I'd hoped to someday do movies, but it's I didn't quite know how to go about that. And then I got a call from John Lasseter, at that time not particularly well-known guy with a new company called Pixar, and they were working on this movie called Toy Story, and they really liked my books and would I like to work with them. And I asked if I could see their stuff. Because, I mean, they hadn't made a movie yet. Like, they hadn't done a couple of shorts. And so I saw Tin Toy, which is sort of the basis for Toy Story. And I was like, this is amazing. This is what I've been waiting for. This is awesome. So I started, you know, working on Toy Story when there were only about 50 people at Pixar. It was at the very beginning. And so I kind of backed into it, but it is exactly what I wanted to do. It's just how many times in life does luck strike quite so beautifully? And so, you know, in fact, that year I worked on two films, and one with Francis Coppola and one with John. So I had this amazing apprenticeship with two masters of the medium. And so I was sort of kept going with that. People kept asking me to do things. And so then we made that short film based on my children's book. And it was my first full directing gig. And to our complete and utter delight, you know, we had, at my company, Moonbot, you know, won the Academy Award, my co-director and I, Brandon Oldenburg. Mm. And that was like awesome.
that seems awesome, William, I must say. So it's the Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore. It is based on one of your children's books. Mm-hmm. So when you put out this book, the new book, do you think, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and then maybe eventually we can make Billy's Booger into a movie of some kind?
Well, I didn't start out that way at all. It was like, I just want to tell this story and of making this book. And I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been trying to figure out how to tell this story in this book. And for a long time, I was just doing a really nice version of the book I'd written in the fourth grade, you know, with its its fecal silliness. You know, I am sneezed. I was just a regular booger inside the regular nose of a regular kid named Billy. You know, I was just going to do beautiful paintings for that.
Right.
And but then I went, God, the charm of this is kind of keeping it in its dorky fourth grade form. Maybe I just do a book around the making of the book and the aftermath of the book, and then insert the actual book as well. And that's all I was really intending to do. But when I was doing the end papers for this thing, you know, the end papers are sort of like if you were to go into the drawer of my desk when I was in the fourth grade and the things I was doodling and thinking about. And so, you know, there's stuff like in the end papers, there's the new superhero possibilities by Billy, author of Billy's Booger. And so that's all this stuff I was thinking about when I was in the fourth grade, like a guy named Captain Immaturity and his anti-grown-up Ray. And he goes around zapping, like, authority figures, like the mayor, who goes, oh, look, I can cross my eyes. Let's run some red lights, you know. And a guy named Paige Turner, who knows every book that was ever made and will, you know, tell it, won't tell you how it ends. He forces you to read it.
Right.
And Bert the Pancake Lad and his short Stacks of Doom. I really,
that's the best. Right there. That was the one I had flagged. His short Stacks of Doom.
And his motto?
Absolutely.
You want extra butter with that? Because I got it. So, actually, then it sort of hit me, like the meteorite. Like, what if we did a movie about a bunch of these kids who actually did get hit in the head by a meteorite at the same time, and they all get these nutty superpowers? And so now we're thinking about developing that into a film, as well as a couple of, you know, we've got about six projects here that we're working on to make into movies. And I'm trying to make, instead of make movies in Los Angeles or New York, as I have in the past, based on my books, I'm going to do them here in Shreveport at our company at Moonbot, if people will give us the money. And that's the hardest part.
Sure.
Can we have $30 million?
But we have reached a point that you could, if you had the $30 million, you could certainly make it in Shreveport, right?
Yes, I mean, we could. I mean,
nothing's stopping you. Yeah.
Yeah. You can make them anywhere. I mean, Blue Sky Studios, when I first started working with them, I did Epic and Robots with them. They're working out of an old dentist office in Harrison, New York. Pixar started a kind of a strip mall kind of place in outside of Oakland. It doesn't matter now, you know, it's just getting the people and the tools together. And so, yes, we could do that here, and it would be, I think, delightful.
So, you can tell me whether the statement I'm about to make is just the most naive thing you've ever heard, or there is, you know, it makes some sense, which is, it would seem to me, if you are trying to raise money and you're looking to make a film, that a good place to start would be with the guy who won the Academy Award.
I think it helps, definitely.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what you're doing.
That seems to give it some credence, yes.
Sure.
And
would you like to make full length?
Yes, I mean, exactly.
That's the idea, sure.
That's the idea, yes, indeed. But, you know, I still love doing books. Like, it's kind of, I'm living this interesting life that we do a lot of things, and we can tell stories in a lot of different ways. And, I mean, because we do apps, and we do story apps, and we do games. Here we, you know, we do books. We have some ideas that are purely, you know, movie ideas, and we don't want them to be anything else. But we just think of stories in different ways to try to tell them. There's all this new technology and these new venues to explore. It's fun. And I love books with, you know, completely and utterly, and I think of them as holy and to be defended and preserved, because, you know, there's been all this anxiety about, is the book going to die? And I don't think so, because it works too well, you know? Mm. You don't have to plug it in. And
right.
You can drop it a lot, and it can even get wet, and you can still get the story. So And there's just something about it. It's tactile. It feels real. I feel like some of the stuff we do is sort of in the air, and there's not an actual thing that bothers me a little bit, but it is the way the future is going. But I don't think the future is going to exclude the tactile, the book, the actual thing at all. I think that those are going to become, that's something will not become a relic. It will always be vital to us, and it will always be one of the preferred ways to get a story. So making a movie is just another version of telling a story for us, and it's an exciting way, and we want to do beautiful things. That's part of the whole point. You know, working with the major studios, they spend so much money and everybody gets afraid and, you know, compromises are made. And we want to make them for less so that maybe the purity of the thing can survive the economics. And if you spend $200 million on an animated film, you have to make an awful lot of money to get that $200 million back. And people get cautious, and sometimes some of the sparkle and the rough edges and the things that make it cool and made you want to make it in a movie in the first place get sort of rubbed away. And we're hoping to do them for considerably less so that people will not be as afraid, and maybe we'll get to keep some of the magic and the rough edges a bit. And so that just doesn't feel like a corporate product made by a group of people. It feels like a vision by a group of people.
Right. And forget the product part.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you get to talk about Billy's Booger.
Yeah. And you know, I have two more books coming out next year. One is in the Guardians of Childhood series I've been doing, and this one's about Jack Frost. So it takes all the sort of icons of childhood, Santa Claus and Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny and Man in the Moon, and I sort of, I've spoken to all of them directly, and have been, you know, sworn
cool.
to some secrecy, but,
sure.
you know, I am merely cataloging their actual origins in these books. That'll come out in the fall, along with a novel I'm doing called The Lost. And I will never stop doing books. It's, you know, one of my favorite things to do. So that they become movies or other things sometimes is just a fun way to explore the narrative further. And put some of the stuff in you have to leave out. There's always more, you know, like I always have to leave stuff out, even in the movies. It's always the same. Movies are really simple. And about the only thing that doesn't compromise how much stuff's in my head is a novel. And even then, usually it's several novels that takes, you know, for me to cram everything in. But even within the novel, there's like, I just wanted to sit down and talk about how cool the weapons are. You know, like Santa Claus has all these awesome, awesome swords. Like, where'd he get them? And, you know, that's something we can explore in an app. And so, you know, I don't know. It's for somebody with a roving imagination and a deep sense of, you know, mythology or just goofing around in these different worlds and not wanting to come out of them, this is an interesting time.
Well, it's the work is so much fun. This is Billy's Booger, a memoir, sort of. It is published by Moonbot Books, which is from Simon & Schuster. And it's very nice to have you with us. Thank you very much for spending time, and best of luck on the projects. This all seems
very
fun and really great work that you're doing.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it very, very much. And it was lovely talking to you guys, and I hope to come back soon.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Again, the new book is Billy's Booger, a memoir, sorta. It is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.